It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Jen Kirkman is a comedian, screenwriter, and actress. She's well known for her appearances on Chelsea Lately and Drunk History. Her latest comedy special is called I'm Gonna Die Alone and I Feel Fine. She's also well known for speaking out about sexual harassment on Twitter and other places also, and has been targeted herself. She's very funny and known for indulging in some self-deprecating humor. Here's a clip of her talking about dating later in life.
But actually, I went on a date right after I got divorced. I was like, I'm going to be a cougar now. You know, I went out with I was 36 at the time. I went out with a 21-year-old. I will never do that again. I had to pick him up at the gas station because his card ran out of gas because his bank had run out of money. And I took him back to my place and I offered him some wine. And he said, when did you get the wine? And I didn't understand that question. I was thinking, does he mean what vintage year is this wine? And he said, no, we didn't stop at a 7-Eleven on the way home. When did you get the wine? And I was like, oh, sweetie, when you're a grown-up, you can just have wine waiting at the house. Sometimes you're so old and tired, you didn't even want to drink it.
That's just a bit from Jen Kirkman. She'll be performing at 9 p.m. at the Englert Theater in Iowa City on Saturday, November 5th, as part of the Witching Hour Festival. And she is here with me now. Hello, Jen.
Good. Hi. Oh, it's so hard to listen to old clips.
Well, I'm sorry to put you through that pain.
Oh, that's okay. Everyone, it's I'm used to it by now, although I'm not used to it. But
how long?
They're good jokes, but it's so funny because I taped that special in 2014, but I wrote those jokes in 2011. So to me, it's like if someone showed you a picture of yourself from high school and you're like, no, I have such much better style now.
How long have you been doing stand-up, Jen?
I'll be celebrating my 20th year in 2017.
So you have really gone through so much during the years that you've done stand-up, really grown and changed. I mean, you make a lot of jokes about turning 40 and really about being an adult single woman, but you've gone through so much while being a person who stands up on stage and examines your life and tells jokes about yourself. How do you think that affects how you think about yourself as you go through all this stuff?
I think that it's helped me process growing up. I mean, I started doing stand-up at 21, which now when I think about it is, you know, when you're 21, you feel so old. I mean, because you're walking and talking and you have a license and you can vote. So you technically are an adult, but there's just so much life experience that you haven't gone through yet. And so it's been fun for me to take every life experience I have and talk to audiences about it, because I do think of it as a conversation, a rather rude one where I'm just talking and they're not allowed to answer, but they're answering me with their laughs and they tell me later what they relate to. And so it's been, you know, I'm very lucky where I get so much feedback from hundreds of people a night that they understand what I'm going through, or even if it's not the literal situations, they understand the feelings behind it. And so I can't imagine going through life not this way. When people come up to me and say, oh, I thought I was the only one that blah, 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 got a divorce or didn't want kids or, you know, doesn't want to own a home. I think, oh, you should come with me on tour. And then you'll hear everyone laughing at those concepts and you'll know you're not alone.
Well, one of the things that I really loved in your most recent special, it's a very funny bit, but it's also a really strong and powerful bit, and I would love to play a little bit. And this is you talking about what it's like to be an adult woman who has chosen not to have kids.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have kids, and I know you're like, that's, I did not see that coming. You seem so maternal. Now, I really never thought it was a big deal that I didn't have kids, but it was people's reactions to it that made me keep talking about it, because I never thought it was anyone's business but my own. But it seems to be the only thing that some people can talk about. When I go to parties, people go, do you have kids? No. And then they don't drop it. Kids! I go, oh my God, they just start freaking out. Kids! I'm like, that's all. And people go, you'll change your mind. I go, excuse me, I didn't ask your opinion about what I'm going to do with my mind. I'm not going to change my mind. I can't change my mind anymore. I'm 40. My ovaries are like sweaters, and those collapsible bags are under my bed. I can't get at them. But I don't go up to pregnant women 6 months along, you'll change your mind. They probably want to. If you've been one of these people that pressures other people into having kids just because you love it so much, stop doing it. It really bothers people, you know? I feel like if you do something as big as having a kid, which is a big life commitment, it's a big deal to raise a human, you got to have an urge to be good at it and an urge to do it. And I never had the urge to ruin my life. So why don't you leave me alone, right? Thank you. Yeah.
That's Jen Kirkman from her most recent comedy special, I'm Gonna Die Alone and I Feel Fine. I mean, Jen, like I said, that was very funny, but also it was completely heartfelt and empowered.
I mean, I guess so. I wasn't, you know, trying to go for that empowering thing, but I think it's just because it really is how I feel. You know, it's so funny that people say, even the movement itself is called Child-Free by Choice. And choice to me it illustrates, you know, Coke or Pepsi, and you sit there and you weigh the options. To me, it was a non-instinct. It never dawned on me to even want children, ever. It wasn't even a choice. It was just, that's never going to be what I want. And so I even think that I wish I didn't even use that word, because I think the humor in it is that it's almost like I didn't even know. The humor to me is just, it is so something that I never think about, and now I'm being forced to think about it because of other people's reactions. And I think that's what it's all about, is like, I don't understand why people, first of all, I don't understand why strangers talk to each other. That's bizarre to me, unless there's like a fire or a hurricane. But like when people, you know, these are not family members that said this to me or friends. This is strangers. And so that to me, and that's where the title comes from, I'm Gonna Die Alone and I Feel Fine. I wrote a book about not having kids, but the publishing company wouldn't let me name it I'm Gonna Die Alone and I Feel Fine because they thought it was too dark. So I named my special that, because that's one of the things people have said to me is, you know, do you want kids? No. Oh, well, you have to have kids. And it goes on and on, usually at a cocktail party. And then it just gets to this dark place where they'll say, but you'll die alone if you don't have kids. I mean, I was married at the time, and people were, and so it was this notion that you have to have children so they can look after you someday, which is lovely and quaint, but that's not quite how things work anymore. The world doesn't look like that necessarily, but it's such a weird thing to worry about, or such a terrible reason to have kids. And so I don't know, I didn't understand it. It got so desperate for people to try to convince me that they had to scream out, you're going to die alone, at a party. I haven't even put my coat down yet. So I think that to me is where it feels so empowered, is I'm truly exasperated. Like, what am I supposed to say in these moments? And I never really thought of anything good to say back. I said it all on stage.
You have something of a reputation as really being a feminist voice. And I realize that your goal on stage is to make people laugh. Are you surprised when people turn to you and kind of think of you as a voice for feminism?
A little bit, because now I'm trying to, well, no, I guess not. I mean, it's a feminist act. Sadly, it shouldn't be, but it still is, to get up on stage and talk. So I guess in that small way, it still is. And, you know, I always try to be conscious of, I'm a white woman, so I'm not speaking for everybody. I try to be intersectional, but I can't speak for every woman's experience. So I'm very well aware I've been criticized as being a white feminist, which I am, sadly. I'm not, you know, I would like to not be as limited, but that for right now, that's about what I am. And so I try to not accept any labels people put on me, like Child-Free by Choice movement, or, I mean, I am a feminist, but if they think I'm an important voice or a voice they should listen to, I would not say yay or nay about that. I would just say, okay, there's lots of other people too. We should be hearing all kinds of voices. But my new special, I just taped another Netflix special in September, which will air in 2017, and it's a little more on-the-nose feminist. I talk about street harassment, and it's all about women kind of going through the world on their own. And I'm actually anxious about the response that I'll get about that. I always worry I'm not smart enough for the smart people, and that the people who don't want to hear comedy about that stuff will think it's too challenging. And so I worry about it. But it's it's great. I'm glad that people think I have something to say, but I feel like I'm just saying what all women have been shouting forever, which is basically, please let us make our own choices, and we're humans.
We're not going to talk about whether women can be funny or not, because clearly that's not a conversation worth having, because women are funny. But the world of stand-up comedy does still tend to be very male-dominated. So as a woman operating in that world, does that create unusual challenges, do you feel?
No, because the stand-ups themselves are fantastic, and the audiences are not sexist. I mean, I always say laughter is the one thing that'll make you forget your prejudice while you're laughing. So there might be audience members who, I don't know, vote in ways that I don't think are great for women. There might be audience members who don't think women are funny, but they might laugh at what I'm saying, and they might leave going, well, okay, well, she's funny, but women still, you know, I truly have not experienced too much sexism on the road in terms of people refusing to laugh. No one's ever yelled out, you're not funny. I started with a bunch of male comics in Boston and New York. There was a few less women doing it, but they were great. I never felt, and I'm hearing from younger girls now that the new, the millennial kids starting out, that the guys in their 20s are being really sexist and introducing them on stage by saying sexual things about them. And I'm just horrified. I swear I feel like it's getting worse in some ways. But the actual stand-up comedy business, since it's not a unified force quite like Hollywood is, it's case by case, it's club by club. And mostly, it's not too bad. Where there is sexism still exists is Hollywood, and it is rampant and terrible. And I think what stand-up comics make it on TV is the same thing as what female directors go through, what actresses go through. It's just the more men that run things, the more they just pick who they like, and they're drawn to other men. So it's like, it's still very uneven in Hollywood. But in stand-up, it's actually bizarrely a little more fair and a little more old-school sexism, where it's like, you're funny, honey, pat you on the butt, get out there. But they'll still let you get out there. And in Hollywood, it's hard to even get on or in anything. And if there is women, they're held up as, Well, we let women in. We let those two in, you know, instead of, I would say, when there's as many mediocre women on TV as men, then we'll be equal. But I feel as a woman, you have to be the best, the best, the best, the best, saying important things. You can't just be like a schlub being funny, you know. So I think it's Hollywood that's more sexist than actually the stand-up road industry.
We live at such an interesting time where because of social media, people who are in performance fields have so much contact with their fans or with their audiences. And you use Twitter a lot. And recently you went through a period of retweeting tweets about sexual harassment, retweeting women's experiences with sexual harassment, which is not funny. What prompted you? What was it that made you think, maybe this is something that I can do? I can amplify these voices.
You know who just did it recently again? Kelly Oxford, and she's got about 1 million followers. And she did the same thing recently, and it really blew up because she's reaching more people than I am. And yeah, she said she was getting 1 million stories a day or so. I mean, it was insane. But I did it. Something happened about 1.5 years ago. I get street harassed all the time, as every woman does. It's just like a part of life. People yell things out at you. Sometimes it's scary. And I was walking down the street in Australia, and these guys, it just felt like being 15 again, which is just not a good feeling when you're a grown woman walking down the street, because it feels like something bad could happen at any turn when a guy yells out, nice coat, but it's a little sarcastic because I was wearing kind of a crazy coat. And I didn't answer, and then they swore at me and just started kind of following me down the street, and they eventually trailed off. But so I just tweeted about it, and then somebody wrote something that had happened to them, and then I decided to retweet them. And then I just kept retweeting everyone that wrote me. But I was thinking that it reminded me of the hashtag Yes All Women that happened years ago, where I felt like we had one day online where we could talk about ways in which we've been harassed and felt threatened. And then that went away because the woman who created the hashtag started getting death threats. And so she asked people, please stop using this hashtag. So I feel like now we're talking about it, especially with Donald Trump, we're talking about it so much more. And for me, I'm never trying to change the mind of the people who don't think it's a big deal. I'm always trying to inform the people that never thought about it but are open to learning what women go through. And luckily, that's a lot of what my followers are like, which is great. But, yeah, so it's opened a lot of people's eyes. What do we do about it? I don't have that answer, but at least people are starting to realize that we just put up with this thing that happens all the time.
Have you gotten any pushback or blowback from this?
Yeah, when I did it, I got a lot. It was like, when you're old, you're going to be really wanting people to give you compliments. And it's like, no, I'm not. I can't wait until no one looks at me, like, you know, in that way when I'm walking down the street. And it has nothing to do with being attractive. I mean, people do it to women all the time. Old ladies get assaulted as well all the time. So, yeah, I got a lot of pushback. I usually just block those people and don't respond to them. But, yeah, it's really sad. I take it very personally, not as me, the comedian, but as a woman, when I get that kind of pushback, it just feels so hopeless, really.
Do you feel like we're still moving forward? I mean, several of the things that you've said made me think, well, maybe we're not making progress in the areas that you spend time in.
I think we're going to, because it's getting so loud and we're talking about it now, and women are not putting up with it. And I think we're hiring other women. I was just thinking about, you know, if Hillary's president and you have a little girl and she can see that a woman can be president, it will just kickstart more women in leadership positions and little girls looking up to them, and it eventually starts to even out. But I think these conversations about harassment and just how women are treated and seen, I think is happening. I think it's going to seem like it's getting worse while it's getting better, because we're getting louder, but so the pushback will get louder, and then it'll die down back into just these fringe people that will never understand it, but the people that can make change will. I think it will get better, but I think right now it's getting worse, but I think that's how everything goes.
Jen Kirkman, thank you so much for talking with me.
What a positive ending quote. I'm like, that's how it goes. It all gets worse. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Talk of Iowa is produced by Dennis Reese, Lindsay Moon, Emily Woodbury, and Claire Roth. I'm Charity Nebbe. Talk of Iowa is a production of Iowa Public Radio News.